You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Why don't we, before we begin to get into God's Word this morning, just spend some time praying. I know so clearly our church has been built on, just like yours, prayer. And so clearly understand in my own life that if I don't pray, like there's no point in doing anything. And especially not preaching God's Word. I am just a regular man who so desperately needs the Lord like you guys do. And so as we open up God's Word together today, let me start by praying and ask that God's Spirit would come and give me the grace and the strength to preach, and you the grace and the strength to hear, and not just with your ears, but with your hearts, to hear and be changed by the power of the living God. That's our prayer today. So let me get on my knees, and as I get on my knees, I encourage you to get on your knees and unite our hearts together in prayer. Father, what an awesome, awesome privilege it is today to come together in this movie theater, Lord, and to raise the name of Jesus above all other names. And God, we recognize today as we gather here, this isn't just a regular place of worship because or a regular place of meeting because you are here. God, this is a place of worship. And so, Lord, I pray that as you transform this place into a holy place because of your presence, God, that you transform our hearts into hearts that are done with the world and into the things of Jesus Christ, into the holy things of the living God. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, we are so eager and expectant. God, we didn't come to hear a worship leader sing songs. We came to worship you. God, we didn't come to hear a man speak his own mind. We came to hear a servant of the living God preach the very words of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that's where the power is. We know that's where our hearts are changed. And so, God, I pray this morning you'd pour your Holy Spirit down upon us that we might encounter the living God today. Oh God, may we leave here not saying that was a good service, but may we leave here this morning saying we just encountered Jesus. Please, Lord, that's what we want. That's what we long for. That's what we need, Lord. We need you. May it be so. May it be so. And may you be honored and glorified by this morning for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you can turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, and as you get there, I just want to explain a little bit where we're going today. And 5 days into 2014 is always a good place, New Year's, always a good place to stop and evaluate where you really are and where you're going. You ever do that in the New Year? I'm kind of a contemplative type, so over Christmas holiday, to stop and reflect over the past year and say, wow, look at where God has me, but also like, wow, look at where we're going and where are we going. And so a couple questions as we get into today, before we get into today's text, and here's a question to ponder as we go through this message, which I've entitled, My Legacy for Jesus. Considering this, are you leaving a legacy for Jesus? If you were to enter into his presence today, what would people remember your life by? What kind of legacy are you leaving, and what kind of legacy will you leave in 2014? The reality is every one of us is going to leave some sort of mark on this earth, and you'll be remembered for something. You'll be remembered for something. And on your eulogy, what is the one sentence that will describe your life? Some of us are remembered as the family man or family woman. Some of us as the funny guy or the bookworm or the social bug or the driven entrepreneur. All good things, but really, are you leaving your mark on this world for eternity? Will you be remembered as a Jesus person? In 2014, here's a blog quote I read recently that speaks to this very reality. The reality is that the true legacy of each human being is written in heaven by the effects of each life that has been lived on earth. Something changes with the existence of every human life, and each day we're building a legacy. Whether we are aware of it or not, and whether we like it or not, our personal lives will leave some sort of mark on earth for heaven. And I say this morning that our mark on earth ought to be an exclamation mark for Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 4, if you've already picked up on this, opened your Bible to Colossians 4, we're going to start at verse 7. And we're going to look at regular, everyday people who met a radical God and were changed significantly to live an extraordinary life for Jesus here on earth. And as we studied Colossians 4 in our church, just finished the series, really the message of Colossians is Jesus is supreme. Jesus is preeminent. And when you've seen the glory and seen the wonder of Jesus Christ, you cannot help but go on the same. Your life will be extremely different, radically different, and your life will leave a significant mark on earth for heaven. Amen. And so we usually get to Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, and here's what we do. We think Colossians is over, we close our Bibles, we sit it on the shelf, we move on to the next book, because it seems like just a list of random people that Paul is calling out here, but really these people have left one sentence of their life. Their life is defined by one sentence. Their whole life is defined by one sentence, and it's a sentence for the Lord. It's an encouragement to people like you and I who are just average, regular people wondering, will my life really count? You ever wondered that? Will my life really count for Jesus? Here's a bunch of people that left a legacy for Christ. I'm going to read it and just talk about them as we go. But the reality is, if you are a blood-bought follower of Jesus Christ, every day you live ought to leave a drip of Jesus' blood on this earth. Five legacies that we ought to be shooting for, and we believe that God isn't flippant. God doesn't just put these words in his word for no reason. These have significant impact for our lives. So let me read, starting here at verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Point number one is this. As we get into the lives of just regular, everyday people, my supreme goal in this life, my supreme goal in 2014 is to make an eternal difference. My supreme goal is to make an eternal difference in this world for eternity. Tychicus and Onesimus did so, and here's the words that described their lives. Does this describe your life today? How do you know if you're making an eternal difference in this world for eternity? Here's the word that sticks out from these two men's lives. It's the word faithful. See that in verse 7? Tychicus, faithful minister. See verse 9? Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother. Here's a legacy worth leaving on this earth. It's a steady supporter of kingdom endeavors. So often in our culture, in our day and age, we want superstars, right? We want to be the superstars. We want to be the glamorous ones. We put everything we have on Twitter and on Facebook and on YouTube, hoping people will notice us, hoping we'll have prominence. And yet Jesus Christ said, here's some prominence for you in God's kingdom. It's being a steady supporter of kingdom work. We don't know much about Tychicus in the New Testament. Five little sound bites of who he is. Five little sentences of his whole, summarize his whole life. And here's some things we do know about him. He was a faithful servant. He was committed deeply to Jesus. And these three words dominate his life. He was trustworthy. He was dependable. And he was reliable. He was one of those behind the scenes guys in Paul's life and ministry. These are all people who are kind of the snapshot of his ministry team that says, my life was effective and fruitful because of these people. Tychicus was one of them. He was a guy that Paul sent on missions. Paul could count on him. He carried money for Paul. He's even considered as a temporary relief pastor for Timothy in Crete. He traveled with Paul. He handled money for the poor, and he delivered Paul's letters. He delivered a couple of Paul's letters to Ephesus, the book of Ephesians. He delivered the letter of Paul to Colossae, the book of... Yeah, so he had a significant role. Paul wrote letters, gave them to Tychicus, and said, take them to where they need to go. And it wasn't like Tychicus walked to the local UPS and filled out a form and put it in the mail. He left his family for weeks on end. He traveled long and hard. He faced danger. He faced hunger and thirst. He put his life on the line to make sure that we today can go through Colossians and Ephesians and know the powerful truths of Jesus. And yet, you ever heard of Tychicus before? yet such a profound impact on our world. It was sort of like, he was sort of like Paul's resident gopher. Hey, Tychicus, I got a job for you. I got something you could do to serve God's kingdom. And those are the calls that most of us would be like, I know the pastor's going to say here. He's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do, so I'm just not going to pick up that phone. And yet Tychicus was like, yeah, you know what? If it's for Jesus, I will do it. It's for the work of the Lord. I'm not going to grumble. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to not have time for it. I'm not going to wait for the role with more prominence. I will do it. And so we see here that Tychicus was a beloved brother. They loved him. He was a faithful minister. He never preached a message. Get this? He never preached a message, but he was considered a faithful minister. He was a fellow servant in the Lord. And if that's a legacy you're leaving, if that's in your obituary one day, that is a legacy for Jesus Christ. Look at those three titles. Like, I don't want a title like that. That's for other people. I want the prominent titles. But yet these titles, you get this? These titles are going to be on the biggest offices in our headquarters in heaven. Because God does things so opposite of what we do. And Onesimus was very much the same. Here's who Onesimus was. Encouraging others was Tychicus and Onesimus, very much the same, our faithful and beloved brother. Same two things, faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. Onesimus was the servant that stole from his boss, started running away to get away from all the consequences, ran into Paul, who pointed him to Jesus, who was then radically changed by the living God. And so Paul was sending Onesimus back to his master. Imagine that. You've stolen from your master. Now you've become one of the fellow believers. And so now you have to go back and faithfully be obedient to what God has for you in your life. Can you imagine going back? Like shame, like wondering what the master is going to say. So Onesimus is going back, bringing with him the letter to Philemon, which tells us all about God's love and forgiveness and how God loves and forgives us and how we ought to love and forgive others. So he too was just a regular guy trying to be obedient to the things of the Lord, and yet made an eternal legacy, left it behind. Here's what we learn from these two guys as we learn of what a legacy God's looking for in our lives, to being a steady supporter. God is all smiles about those who are committed and obedient and faithful examples of a changed life in Jesus Christ. He's more excited about committed, obedient faithfulness than the dreamers of what I'm going to do for Jesus. And these two guys exemplify what God looks for in every follower of Jesus and what every pastor prays for to be a part of their church. Church is not just a one-man show of a pastor getting up and using all of his gifts and abilities and pouring them out. It's people coming together to sacrifice and to commit and to pursue the same goal of making Jesus known here, specifically in Toronto West. God is calling you. Well, your legacy in 2014, is it already being that I am a steady supporter of the work of the Lord? And will it be in 2014? Will you be a steady supporter of the work of the Lord? That is a legacy worth leaving. Moving on. Verse 10. Second legacy worth leaving here is a zealous follower. Second legacy worth leaving is a zealous follower. Evaluate your own heart. Evaluate your own life. Am I leaving something worthwhile behind here on earth? Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Here's who Aristarchus is. We don't know. All we know is that he was a fellow prisoner with Paul for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that he was of good reputation, with character to be trustworthy, and accompany money as well to Jerusalem. And this is what we also know, is that he loved Jesus enough to even go to prison for him. Get that? He loved Jesus enough to even forego his rights and his privileges to follow Jesus Christ. Got to be honest, that's a legacy you don't hear of a lot in 2013 and 14. in our world of like, I have all my rights and I will follow God when it's easy, when it's comfortable, when it's what I want to do, is when how I want to serve, and to go to jail for Jesus? To give up all of your rights for Jesus? Obviously, if you're going to go to prison for Jesus, Aristarchus was a man who had some deep conviction. Aristarchus was a man who was willing to put it all on the line. I'm sure he faced ridicule for the Lord. He was probably so zealous, people would probably step back and be like, man, Aristarchus, if you don't just calm down a little bit and stop talking about Jesus, you're going to go to prison, and what good are you going to be there? People probably snickered at him. Here comes the Mr. Zealous guy. He's going to live for the Lord, like, ha, ha, ha. And yet, whose name's in the Bible? It wasn't all those spiritually dead snickerers on the sidelines whose name's in the Bible today. It's Aristarchus who's like, you know what, I'll do whatever you want, Lord. I'll put it all on the line for you. I'll be laughed at in our community. I'll even be ridiculed and put in jail for you. He left an eternal mark on this world that very few of us ever will, because we somehow got into our minds and hearts that it's better to be friends with the world, and you're more effective if you're friends with the world. But God says that to be friends of the world means that you are enemies of Jesus. In James 4:4. And those who turn the world truly upside down and leave not just a little mark but a dent on this place are those that are not ashamed about the testimony of Jesus, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, as 2 Timothy 1:8 says. Those that really don't care about what the world thinks of them or the consequences of their association with Jesus. Is that you today? You've been living your life so that no one really even knows that you're a follower of Jesus? Except for the people maybe in this room, but you leave this place and no one has a clue that you're here Sunday morning. They think you're sleeping in. And somehow you want to make a difference for the world, but you're not going to put anything on the line. Today's the day to change that and start putting everything on the line for Jesus Christ, even if it means sacrificing some of your time and some of the freedom that you have to live your life. I'm giving it all for the Lord today. Because I want 2014 to be different. I don't want to waste my life any longer. Let's be honest, this could be your last year. This could be it. Oh, look at the downer preacher. It's not the downer preacher, it's reality. I had the privilege this past November of burying our first church member at Harvest Niagara. We've only been going 2 years, and went to Harvest University, as some of you guys maybe went to, and while we were out there, got a text 5 o'clock in the morning on a Friday morning. I was doing a wedding in Colorado Springs, and one of our beloved fellow members of Christ's family had a heart attack at 31 years old, in her sleep, complete shock. And yet the following Tuesday, I got to stand up in front of a crowd of probably bigger than this and proclaim that Jessica was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And you know how I knew that? Because everybody in the room, Christian or non-Christian alike, they knew Jessica. And they knew she was on fire for the Lord, and she left a legacy in this world that is second to very few. Are you leaving a legacy like Aristarchus, willing to be a prisoner for Jesus Christ? Are you more concerned about what the world thinks? Number three, enthusiastic partner. A couple more guys here. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. This is John Mark. This is the guy who went on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, and he was pretty messed up, and he had a lot of flaws, and Paul and Barnabas got in a big fight over whether they should even take John Mark with them or not, and so they caused a big split, and somehow he got past that and went on to be a strong, enthusiastic partner of the gospel, and he's actually the guy that wrote the gospel of Mark. Encouraging for us, knowing that, man, he was obviously pretty messed up, and yet somehow God used him for great things. And even though he caused a whole lot of rift in the family of God, he got past that by repentance and by getting his eyes back on Jesus, and God used him in significant ways for the kingdom. encouraging for a lot of us as we start 2014. As we look back, man, 2013 is a rough year. I made a whole lot of mistakes this past year. I'm not sure if God can use me going forward. Well, John Mark, he used him. God can use you as long as you turn back and want to pursue him with all that you have. God will do the same in your life. Another guy here in the same boat is a guy named Jesus who is called Justice. And I don't know how that all went down, but I'm sure that was pretty awkward. And a guy shows up to church and says, "What's your name?" "My name is Jesus." I'm sure the elders got together in a little corner like, "Hey, you know what, this guy, we're going to change it to Justice. From now on, you're Justice. We can't have two Jesuses in this place." And I don't know what his story is either. We don't know much about this Jesus who they changed his name to Justice. But we do know these are Jewish men who are fellow workers for the kingdom of God. These are men who could carry a little more responsibility, a little more weight for the kingdom. These are gospel partners, guys who could preach and can teach and could lead God's people together, which every church needs. These are probably the elders and the flock leaders and the small group leaders that God is calling out from among you to help Jason and the staff here lead God's people in the things of Jesus Christ. And these men have been a comfort to Paul, it says in verse 11, comfort not being a consoling him and coming alongside and you could do it, man, but more of a, they strengthened him. They strengthened his ministry. They strengthened the work of the gospel going forward in their church and in their community. They were willing to not just write a gospel with their hands as John Mark did, but write a gospel with their lives. Here's what Paul Gilbert says, and this is what we're called to really make an eternal legacy here on earth for heaven. Here's what we're called to. We're called to be just like John Mark and just like Justice. We're called to live every day writing a gospel message with our lives. Here's what Paul Gilbert says. We each write a gospel, a chapter a day, by deeds, by looks and likes, the things that we say. Our actions betray us. Words, faithful and true, say, what is the gospel according to you? Third worthwhile legacy is to be an enthusiastic partner, to get up in the morning and decide, this year I'm going to carry some significant buckets for the kingdom of God. I'm not just going to put in my time. I'm not just going to show up to church on Sunday. I'm going to carry some significant buckets for the kingdom of God as the leadership of this church ordains you to do. Fourth one is this, is a passionate discipler. Pray you guys are evaluating your lives right now and God's stirring your hearts. Is my life making a difference? Passionate discipler. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Jesus Christ, greets you always, struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Here's your Epaphras. Well, you ever heard of him before? Not much, right? You know who he was? He was the church planting pastor at Colossae. He was the guy who met Jesus through Paul's ministry, probably in Ephesus, and Paul sent him back to his hometown to start a church. And so much like Jason has done here, he prayed his face off and he had a heart for the things of Jesus and God raised up from his life a whole group of disciples, of followers of Jesus Christ. And what defined Epaphras' life was he was a passionate discipler of people. He wasn't in ministry for the glorious ministry opportunity. He was in ministry for the gut-wrenching opportunity to help people be true followers of Jesus Christ. There's a huge difference there. He wasn't like, give me the words so I can stand up front and preach. He was like, give me people's lives that I could get one-on-one with them and open up God's word with them and help them see Jesus, help them get past the sin in their lives. Help them see the glory of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Pray for them with all that we have and all that I have and really be a disciple maker. Get the impression in this passage that Epaphras was more about making disciples and gathering friends. So often in church, we can come as a social event and we can come here to gather friends and gather friends and gather friends. And what our legacy is going to be is a lot of people liked us, which is great here on earth. But in heaven, the question is going to be, yeah, a lot of people liked you on earth, but how many people stand in eternity because of your life? How many people are closer to Jesus Christ because of your life? Let me ask you a question. Are you a friend gatherer or a disciple maker? We claim at Harvest that we're a disciple-making church. That goes far beyond the staff. That goes far beyond the staff of the church. Every one of us ought to be a disciple maker. Every one of us ought to be struggling on the people's behalf, on your small group's behalf, on your leader's behalf, on your church behalf. You ought to be struggling on each other's behalf in your prayers. In other words, our prayers ought to be marked by not, oh God, please help me, but God, would you please build your kingdom and build our church together? Let me ask you, when was the last time you struggled on behalf of anybody other than yourself in your prayers? When was the last time you actually got involved in somebody else's life enough to really truly help them become a follower of Jesus Christ? If you've been in the faith longer than 5 years, you should have somebody that you're pouring your life into. That's how Jesus did it. He had 12, right? He poured his life into 12, and he had three on the inner circle. He poured his life into those three. Every believer in Jesus ought to be discipling another believer of Jesus. And if you're like, but I'm not there yet, then find somebody who's more mature than you and tap them on the shoulder and say, can you please help me get what this whole following Jesus thing means? Can you imagine if everyone in this room grab somebody else to disciple to the point where they could disciple, to the point where they could disciple, to the point where they could disciple? That'd be awesome. In no time, this community start being impacted by the power of Jesus Christ for the glory of Jesus Christ. This is a great encouragement for me, Epaphras. Being a pastor, I can surely feel his pain and his struggle. Jason, this should be an encouragement for you too, because Epaphras was not a guy who probably had 40,000 Twitter followers. He wasn't the guy that was getting invited to all the conferences. He was the guy who was laboring faithfully every single week, and people probably even going online to hear Paul's sermons and not Epaphras' sermons, right? And if he wasn't in this passage, in the beginning of Colossians, we wouldn't know who he was, but yet God says that he left a legacy for heaven. Average guy. Regular guy that decided that he was no longer going to be settled and satisfied with the status quo. He was going to be about what Jesus wants to be about and nothing more and nothing less. Next one here, almost through the list. Verse 14. Luke, the professional promoter. Any professionals out there today, this is for you. This is how you can leave a legacy in 2014. Professional promoter. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you. It's all it says here about Luke, but we know who Luke was. Luke was a doctor. Well-educated. He obviously had a little bit of knowledge behind him to write, since he wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Yet the great thing about Luke is, even though he was educated and probably prominent in the times of his world, he wasn't about promoting himself. He was about promoting Jesus Christ. At the end of Luke's life, he was known not by what he did, but by whom he served. And Luke spent a lot of time not building up his practice, not trying to have more prominence in his professional community. He spent a lot of time pouring into God's people, both physically and spiritually, and using the gifts and the platform that God had given him to bring glory to Jesus' name. He was a kingdom builder. But it wasn't his kingdom he was building, it was Jesus' kingdom. It's a good word for the professionals here in the audience as we think about so often our world says, build a kingdom, build a kingdom, build your name, build your name. It's about Jesus' name. And at the end of your life, when it comes to the end of your life, no one's going to care longer than 50 years after you die. No one's really going to care you lived. And the only difference you make is if you promoted Jesus through the platform he has given you in this world. And believe me, he's given you a platform on purpose. He's given you resources on purpose. He's given you a voice on purpose. He's given you prominence in people's minds on purpose so that you can glorify the name of Jesus Christ. You can keep the amens coming. I'm okay with that. Jason told me, preach like you do at your church, so I'm going. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you. Then we get to one more name here. Luke, the professional promoter. Jesus' legacy, not a Luke legacy. Then we get to one more name here that is on our list, and it's the disgraced deserter. Interesting that here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, the name Demas shows up. In Colossians 4, obviously Demas is on fire for the Lord, and he is living his life to make a legacy. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. But yet, when we get to 2 Timothy 4:10, now we realize that Demas left a legacy, but it wasn't a legacy like we'd want to leave. Demas was a guy who, it says in 2 Timothy, Demas was in love with the present world so much that he deserted Paul and went to Thessalonica. All good here in Colossians. By Timothy, he had faded. He had not just faded, he was gone. Because he so desperately loved the world. He left a legacy. Not one any of us would be proud of. What went wrong with Demas? What went wrong with Demas? I bet you I know what went wrong with Demas because my heart goes there so often, and I'm sure your hearts go there. You see all the truth of God's world, but all the truth of God's kingdom, but you look at the world and it seems so enticing to you, does it not sometimes? And you're like, man, if I could just make a name for myself, if I could just have a little more things, if I could build up a little more prestige, a little more power, a little more, you name it, right? A little more, it's so enticing. And Demas was a guy who chose to, instead of drink up the truth, he swallowed the world. And clearly God says, if you want to choose to live in the world, you're not of the kingdom of God. And I doubt it was a switch that was turned one day and he woke up and said, I'm just going to follow the world. It was those little slow choices he made as he traveled with Paul and as he heard the word of God being preached. And slowly let his heart get hard to the things of the Lord. And he started to show up on Sunday just because it was the thing to do. And his Bible started taking its place on its shelf rather than open on his lap. And his prayer time was those quick hitters on the way out the door. God, please bless. And he never spent time communing with the Lord. And slowly, he drifted to the point where he was done. And let me tell you this, the world promises the moon, but all it delivers is a bag of stones. Mark 8:35-37, if this is you, if you're here today and you're like, but I love the world. I love Jesus, but I love the world too. Listen to what it says in Mark 8:35-37. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? For what can each man give in return for his soul? And what pains me this morning as I look at our church, as I look at probably people in this church, is that there's so many people who are claiming Jesus but living for the world. Let's be honest. And that might be you this morning, and you're like, how does he know? I don't know. I just know that this is the pull of the heart. It's the attack of Satan. And so the message for you this morning is this, is don't waste another year living for the world. Don't leave your legacy to chance. Make a decision today that you're going to honor Jesus and follow Jesus and nothing more and nothing less. 2014 is going to be different this year. Done with the world and in with Jesus. Not by accident, he says in verse 16. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. You guys remember who Laodicea is? Revelation 3. Make sure Colossians, Jesus first. Make sure Colossians, supremacy of Jesus in all things, in all areas of life, not just like a compartment of your life in the center of your life. Make sure this is read to the Laodiceans, who are the lukewarm, who are the ones who are going to be spit out from the mouth of God the Father. He says to them in Revelation 3, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but anything but lukewarm. Hot water is useful, right? Stick a bag of tea in there and man, something beautiful comes out. Cold water is also just as good, right? Come in from like doing something long and hard outside and you just want a cup of cold water and it soothes you. But lukewarm, what's that do? Grab some lukewarm water and you can barely get that thing down. God says, read this to the Laodiceans, read this to those who are lukewarm in their faith. knowing this, that God gives us these passages to encourage. Isn't it amazing what you can get from a final greetings? As you study it and learn who all these people are and what God has for us, and God's heart for you is to not miss out on a legacy that counts forever. Bottom line is this, you never know when the final sentence of your life is going to be written. And if the story of your life, the story that your life is writing does not include Jesus Christ, now is the time to change that and to start writing a story that will be read in heaven and not burned in hell. Could be me, it could be you, it could be us in our sleep. I'm 38, I've already outlived Jessica by 7 years. It could be us in our sleep. This is the final hour, the final chapter. Don't leave without this message on your heart. Because your supreme goal in this life is to love Jesus enough to make an eternal difference. To make an eternal difference in the world. Point number two, which is only 2 points, thank the Lord, eh? Like, man, it's only point one. What's going on? I preach for 3 hours at our church. I don't. Point number two is this, my greatest impact. Point number one, my supreme goal is to make an eternal difference. Point number two is my greatest impact is to fulfill my calling. To fulfill my calling. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha in the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read to the church of the Laodiceans and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Verse 17, and say to Archippus. Who's Archippus? Maybe Philemon's son again. Random guy in the church. Random man and woman in the church. Maybe the first time here. Random person. Put your name in here. And say to, insert your name. Even like put a little line in your Bible from Archippus to put your name in there. See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Here it is, your greatest impact is to fulfill your calling. See to it that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. See, Jesus didn't just save you to sit you. Jesus didn't just save you to come to church and be a consumer and to take in. He saved you to find a place for you to serve the Lord in building his kingdom here at Toronto West. And he has a place picked out with your name already on it, saying, I have saved them and sanctified them and am sanctifying them and have reserved a spot for them in the body of Christ to fulfill all that he has called this church to be. And your greatest impact is to grab a hold of that calling and live it. I don't know about you, but I've never got a job where I've gone into got hired by an employer and gone in and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is where I am going to put my time and energy and I'm going to work here. Never. I've never made a sports team that decided that here's the position I'm going to play and here's the minutes I'm going to play. It's always been like, hey, you've been selected for the team and the coach tells you where you're going to play. You've been hired for a job and the boss tells you where you're going to serve. And Jesus doesn't just save you so that you call the shots now. He saves you that he can use you effectively in the way he's built you and created you to fill out the body of Christ to be its maximum, have its maximum effect on this world. And it'd be helpful for us all as we start this next year to just simply embrace the position that God has given you. To do that, you must, to really fulfill the ministry you received in the Lord, you must first let Jesus in. You must first be saved. You must first make Jesus Lord of your life. I've heard so often, it's as long as Jesus is on the radar, it's okay. It's not okay as long as Jesus is on the radar. It's okay as long as Jesus is Lord of your life. You get low, you become less, he becomes greater, and then you start fulfilling your calling in this life. But you have to let Jesus in. You have to also be content with your lot in life. Oh, the world so creeps into the church and we clamor for position. We want to serve where we want to serve. And just be content with who you are and how God has wired you and created you. If you have a gift of serving, then just start serving. Don't clamor to want to be Jason at the front. Don't clamor to want to be Matt leading worship. Don't clamor to want to be the head of a ministry. Just serve where your gift was. An opportunity to serve, serve. So we tell our people all the time, there's an opportunity to serve, just serve. That's God's heart for you. And the last one is this, be fanatical about your mission. Just get excited about Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit fire up your heart for the things of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit do in you what only he can. Stop resisting, start surrendering. This is part of fulfilling your mission and leaving a legacy. And be all about God's mission and about the one sentence that you will leave here on earth. What's the one sentence? What's the one sentence you're going to be remembered by? Get excited about that and leave a legacy for Jesus. As John Wesley says, it's not that hard. It's simply this, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That's a legacy lever. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. And the key to that is simply in this last word is by the grace of God. Verse 18, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, remember my chains, and grace be with you. You know what the greatest grace of God is? Is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, save us and leave us hanging. So now figure it out for yourself. The grace of Jesus, his power and his presence and his protection are with you as you leave your legacy. He is the beginning of the race. He's the middle of the race. And he's the end of the race, as Hebrews 12 tells us. The author and perfecter of our faith who strengthens and encourages you. He's the one who inspires you as you see all that he has done for you on the cross. You say, Jesus, if you would do all this for me on the cross, how can I not give my all back to you on earth? He gives you your appreciation in that he's all the applause you need. You don't need other people's applauses. Jesus' applause you need. And that's all the applause you ever need. He is your reason for dedication. In other words, he gives you every strength you need. Tired heart this morning, God will give you courage and strength. Feeble in faith, God will give you faith. Struggling with insecurity, God will give you security through Jesus Christ. Struggling with thinking you're not worth it, God shows you that you are ultimately worth it because of his sacrifice on the cross. Think that you're not gifted, even God's giving you the gifts in Jesus Christ to fulfill his calling. And he is our motivation in that he is coming back soon. Jesus is coming back soon. Soon. Yeah, soon. And so, man, we better be like loving Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So when he comes back, we're ready. This isn't a fear thing. This is a bring it on thing, Jesus. Until you come, I'm giving it my all. And by your grace, I'm leaving a legacy. A legacy that will last forever, that'll never fade. It's going forever. By the grace of Jesus. I pray today that this church, as I pray for our church, is full of Tychicus's, and Onesimus's and Aristarchus's and Mark's and Justice's and Epaphras's and Luke's. We'll skip Demas, amen? And Nympha's and Archippus's, that we'd be defined, that you'd be defined by the power and the presence and the protection of Jesus Christ. 2014, new year, new day. Clear. Jesus leaves it to you. What's it going to be? Legacy for Jesus or legacy for me? Only one lasts forever. Let me pray. Father, as we study your word today, we are so amazed at how you continually speak to us, Lord. How your grace in Jesus Christ goes to the 10th degree, Lord. It goes so far beyond all that we could ever think or ask or imagine. God, for the grace to open our eyes to see the reality of Jesus, that there's no other way to heaven but by the name of Jesus, for the promise of your presence and your strength in this life, for your promise of eternity, Lord, we are continually amazed. And God, as we step back and look to you this morning and study your word and worship you through song and by the hearing of your word, God, I pray you'd open up every heart and mind in this place to not just be hearers of the word, Lord, but to be doers. Oh God, would this morning mark a profound moment of change for some as they realize their legacy on earth? The story that they've been writing here on earth is just going to one day be burned in hell. Oh God, help them see the glory of Jesus and start writing a story today that would be read in heaven where the angels resound with thanksgiving. God, for those that are struggling, God, would you strengthen them today and give them grace and strength to live this out? For the discouraged, Lord, would you help them see that their life counts and can make a difference? For those that are already excited and on fire, as there's a lot here in that category too, God, I pray that you'd use this to encourage them, to spur them on to greater things for your name and your kingdom. That they would realize that yes, even though it seems mundane, even though no one knows them here, their life is making a profound impact for the kingdom of God for all of eternity. God, would you bless those people and encourage them and strengthen them all the more? God, we need you in all these things. We confess we can't be any of these people apart from you. So God, pour your Holy Spirit down upon us now and quicken our hearts. Quicken our hearts to the message that you wanted us to receive today from your word, God. And may we not harden our hearts today when we hear and receive and respond however you lead, in the name of Jesus.